let's talk and let's laugh, cause I got so much to tell you, so let's go kick some art.
Kia ora, and welcome to Kick Arts. Kick Arts is Aotearoa's comprehensive art show, brought to you on Planet FM 104.6 and streaming live around the globe thanks to our podcasts, which you can download from planetaudio.org.nz or find us on Spotify. On tonight's show, we are talking all things We the Young Festival with Auckland Live. But to kick it off, today is Father's Day in Aotearoa, and we wish to pay tribute to all the dads, the grandfathers, the stepfathers, the father figures and mentors, with Little Shadows, the 2020 Kiwi hit by Nika Moa, Stacey Morrison and Mike Pero. That it is Father's Day already. It only feels like yesterday, when actually it was 3 years ago, that we did a Father's Day special, Stephen and I, and we interviewed a whole lot of fathers of theatre people. And funnily enough, I caught up with one of them today, Tim Carroll from Auckland Music Theatre, and we were talking about how we were giving pieces of advice to new dads, and his piece of advice was, let the kids get the Happy Meal because they only want the toy and that way you can eat the burger. So that was his father's piece of advice. So, yes, I just wanted to start the show, apart from saying Happy Father's Day, by saying thank you very much to Dolphin Theatre, who were our August Kick Arts sponsor. And, of course, we're now in September. We don't have a sponsor this month, so if you're out there and wanting to sponsor a few shows, get in touch with us. Now, I've got a guest in the studio who happened to tell me that she attended the same show that I did this week. So I might have a quick ask of what she thought about that. But kia ora and welcome to the show, Rosa. I should probably turn your microphone on, really. I always do that with the first guest.
Should we try again?
There we go. Kia ora, Rosa.
Kia ora. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So before we get on to talking about We the Young, you attended Tom's, or should I say Terry's, brand new musical that we talked about a week ago, Roadkill the Uber Cool Musical, on Thursday night. And you were there the session before me.
Yes, I was there with 8 colleagues. We had a super fun outing, filled the bus, and were sung at and sung with Tom. It was a great night.
Yeah, so I ended up being Mary.
Oh, I was not Mary. My colleague Jen was.
Yeah, I was kind of like, oh, this is a new thing. So we're not going to give it away because he has got a few more shows coming back at the end of September. But I've got to say, it was a great night out. It was so much fun.
It was super fun. It was really nice watching the cars around us in the car park as well, driving past. Somebody actually just like wound down their window and kind of mouthed what the... So it was super fun inside, and also I loved the kind of intrigue that it spread out into the surrounding areas about what was going on in that van.
Yeah, because the show... I actually went to the show upstairs as well, which is Let It Die, who we interviewed last week. I went to their 6:30 session. So when you were in the van, I was upstairs. And a lot of their audience was outside when the show started in the van. And they were very much, especially when he jumped out and was standing outside singing, it was very like, what on earth is happening? So, people, look it up. He's back at the end of September with his van parked on the slab outside the basement theatre. So go along and check it out. As I said, I went to Let It Die on Thursday night. Such a cool show. Really left me thinking, like I came out going, what have I just seen? And I actually love a show which leaves me thinking. And really amazing use of puppetry. Again, it's finished, so you missed that one. Sorry, guys. I also went to ABCs of Musicals and listened to 25 and a half, because there's 26 letters in the alphabet, songs from musicals. It was fantastic. Again, it's finished. So I really do recommend people, don't wait to hear about them. Book and get in. And now, coming up from the 16th to the 28th of September, we've got, is this the first time this festival's happened?
Yes, it's our brand new festival. It's our pilot this year.
Cool. So We the Young. I keep wanting to say We Are Young, not We the Young. But tell us, what is this festival all about?
We the Young is a arts festival for young people. So we're an arts festival for ages 16 and under in Auckland.
Cool. So when you say it's for their age, they are the intended audience rather than they are the people performing?
It's an intended audience on arts festival, like a youth arts festival. We do have some events where we're centering young people on the stages. It's our pilot as well, so we are starting small and have big visions to grow.
So what was it that maybe brought this festival to the fore? Like, was there a gap or an identified gap, or what was it?
There's a huge gap in terms of theatre for young people in New Zealand, especially with the dropping away of Capital E Arts Festival in Wellington, with the loss of the amazing Tim Bray in Auckland, and things like our Theatres and Schools program. There's a massive gap for theatre for young audiences, and it's something that we have always really focused on at Auckland Live, and the timing has just been great in terms of us being able to step forward as that gap expanded a little bit more in the last couple of years.
So do you work at Auckland Live?
Yes, I'm a creative producer in the programming team at Auckland Live, so it's kind of a programming role there. Yeah.
And is theatre for young something that you had experience in prior to this?
So I have worked as a programmer for a couple of years, so programming across all our venues, including all including programming for young people, programming theatre, programming outdoors. I think my interest kind of sharpened in that area as I became a parent over the last couple of years, as it kind of tends to do when you have young people and then you look around and you're like, oh, where's all the theatre opportunities for them? So that's where it's really sharpened for me.
Yeah, I think it's great to have a specific festival because obviously there are shows happening out there and, you know, there were a few in the Auckland Arts Festival and different things, but they're kind of, I suppose, invisible because they're mixed in with everything else, right?
Yeah, and also young people, I mean, our age range is 0 to 16, and within that age range there's a huge range of developmental, physical development interest ranges, so to have one or two shows in a festival is wonderful. We want to see more children's theatre, but also there's such a wide range in terms of when you're creating work that's specifically for age groups. So in order to really serve that audience, having a specific festival that allows us to make sure that we're really programming for every age group specifically and considering all of their needs is a real privilege.
Yeah, so we are talking to three different people who are a part of the festival, but there's obviously a lot more as well. So what kind of things can people expect over the 2 weeks?
So we are programming the last week of term three into the first week of the holidays. So the first couple of days is majority schools programming. So we've got a whole schools program. We've got Works for Babies, beautiful cabin theatre work. You're talking to Mel up next, I think. And then we've got Works Raging right up to 16. We've got a couple of international theatre works, and that's our vision for the festival, that will program international works out alongside our beautiful makers from Aotearoa. We have an incredible immersive play work by Polyglot Theatre from Australia. We've got Creation from Windmill Theatre from Australia. We've got amazing New Zealand artists. Over half of our program's completely free, so it was a big focus for the festival to make it really accessible from a price standpoint, and we've also been working with Arts Access Aotearoa to embed accessibility into the festival from the beginning as well. So it's a really most of the public programming happens from Saturday the 20th to Sunday the 28th across that first week of the school holidays. And we've programmed it especially so that if you are buying a ticket to the show, there are a wraparound program of free activities that you can do as a family. So if you're coming into the city, there's lots to do. You can spend the whole day there and stumble upon lots of amazing activities outside of the ticketed shows as well.
That's fantastic. So great way for grandparents and parents to do something a bit different in the holidays.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got incredible experiences and everyone's really different. We've got a massive outdoor sculpture installation. We've got a whole day of sensory experiences developed for people with complex disabilities alongside everyone else. We have a speed painting competition. We've got a multi-language storytelling lounge. We've got an interactive play work.
Wow.
We've got award-winning theatre work from Australia. We've got a theatre work especially for babies. So it's a huge spectrum.
That's crazy. And you've also got the finals of Stand Up, Stand Out.
So yes, yeah. And this is a program that Auckland Live has walked alongside for a long time, but it was a really beautiful kind of cohesion to be able to umbrella it under the festival. Those kids are incredible. I don't know if you've ever seen it before.
I have. Yep. I've had students in it before, yeah.
The first time I saw it, I was just like weeping. Just these young people walking on stage and they open their mouths and it's just the most incredible thing you've ever heard.
And it's so cool for them too, because for a lot of them, this is the first time they've performed outside of, like, their school environment or outside of church. So, I mean, it's a big enough kind of step for them to do the semi-finals out at Mangere Arts Centre. Otara.
We have the semi-finals at Auckland Live as well. You've got theatre.
In there? Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, the South Auckland ones go out to Otara. I think, and then come into the finals, or the semi-finals, I should say. So that's like heats and things. Heats.
Yeah.
And I know how nervous so many of them backstage are. But then to come in, I mean, how cool is that for them to be able to perform on a bigger stage in the city?
Yeah, the Great Hall. It's an incredible stage and it's had so many icons on it, but it's so worthy of their talent. Like when they open their mouths, they're alongside those incredible people. So I think it's the perfect place for them to be. It's such a joy to watch them up there.
And I think that's the cool thing as well. Like you've said, these all of your events are happening across Auckland Live. So Auckland Live, of course, tell our listeners, for those that don't know, what are the venues that Auckland Live manage?
So Auckland Live is part of Tātaki Auckland Unlimited. We are a multi-venue performing arts centre. So we look after the Aotea Centre, so there's the Kiritakānawa and the Herald. We program Aotea Square. We have the Auckland Town Hall, so there's the Great Hall, which we were just talking about, and the Concert Chamber, which is hosting lots of We the Young activities. We also look after the Civic, and then we have some other venues outside down at the waterfront. We also look after the Bruce Mason Centre.
And there's always stuff on. Like, it's Auckland Live for people that are looking for things to do. I love receiving the Auckland Live newsletter, email that comes out, just to be able to see how much art is actually happening across Tamaki Makaurau. Like, it's huge.
Yeah, it's incredible.
There's always something for someone.
Absolutely.
So how many of these things have you seen?
I have seen every single thing. It's my job to curate the program, and I take that really seriously. I don't program anything that I wouldn't personally advocate for. We get young people, the target audience age, to watch the works as well, to give us feedback. But apart from some of the, you know, the competitions and things like that, which obviously happen live, I have seen every single work.
And this is probably a hard question, but do you have a favourite?
One of the favourites for me is Creation by Windmill Theatre. It's just such a clever piece of theatre. It was created by interviewing community members aged 8 to 98, don't quote me on the age range, 90-something, and asking the community members what their biggest questions in life were, and then they were recorded, and that created a soundtrack, and they made a devised piece of theatre out of that. So some of the questions are big questions, like how are babies born, what happens when we die, and then there's all these beautiful silly questions like can you lick your elbow, are aliens real? So it's this really raw, funny, really deep piece of devised theatre that I think is really, really special. And everyone who I've talked to who's seen the work has said it's just one of the best works for theatre for young people they've ever seen. So I'm just really happy that we were able to bring this to our audiences in Aotearoa. So it's one of my picks. Beautiful, beautiful, Gentle Work for Babies by Cubbin. We don't have a lot of work for the very young made by Aotearoa makers, and Cubbin are doing incredible work, really uplifting and digging deep into that genre. So I'm really excited about that. I'm mostly just really excited just to see young people come and encounter a festival environment where they don't just go to a show and then go home. They get to come to a show and experience a whole environment that's been curated with them in mind, where they can stumble across a massive interactive sculpture. We've got play activations. They can go and have a play. We've got menus that are created for them. So I'm just really excited to see people have that whole wraparound experience.
That is so cool. Now, as we said, we're going to be talking to a few of them shortly, but you're going to dip home because it's a Sunday night. So how can people find out about everything that's happening? What's the easiest way?
The easiest way is just to Google We the Young Auckland Live and the full program props up. You can download the digital brochure if that's how you like to read it. Otherwise, all the events are online. We've got brochures floating around town. If you happen to see those, they've all got QR codes that you can scan and go directly to the booking page as well.
And we've actually got the event and the link to the digital on our Kick Arts website on our events page as well. So if you're listening, as we said, AucklandLive.co.nz, or jump onto our events page and click there. Well, I really appreciate you coming out on a Sunday night and telling us about it. And if people could see the passion that you have for the event, that should inspire people in itself to get along there. Like, it sounds like it's going to be an amazing couple of weeks. And I really hope the schools have got behind it and filled up that schools program. What a great way to end the last week of term. Because let's face it, a lot of the time at school in the last week, what are they doing? Watching videos. Finishing assessments. I shouldn't say finishing assessments because that's important. But getting along to live theatre it could actually be the thing that triggers someone's passion for going forward in this area, right?
Absolutely. And our schools program is a whole day. So the schools come in and they get three amazing experiences. They get to watch a theatre work, The Tantrum by Java Theatre. Then they're going to do an interactive wire workshop with Nicola Piccolo. So they get to get up. They get to learn te reo Māori.
Cool.
And then they're going into the civic. And this is a part that I'm really excited about. We've collaborated with G&T, who have an amazing show, Priscilla, on in the civic, opening this weekend, actually. And they,
I'm going Friday night.
Fabulous. So not quite a theatre work for children. However, they've been super generous and we've done a beautiful piece of work around creating a kind of almost a how-to of theatre for young children. So our students will come in, they'll get to learn a little bit about the history of the amazing civic theatre. They get to sit down and the audio designers, the lighting designers and the set from G&T are sharing some of the elements of the show so that the kids get to go up on stage, learn about the audio, learn about the lighting, see some of the sets fly in and the amazing civic, and then they pop on the bus and go home after having a full day of kind of immersive theatre experiences.
That is such a cool day. That is the kind of day I would love as a student and as a teacher, actually. I think that would be so cool.
Yeah.
What a day.
It's for 5 to 8 year olds this year, but we aim to kind of mix up the age groups every single year.
Very cool. Right, well, we're going to go to a music break while we get our next guest on the phone. So, because it's Father's Day, we're doing all songs about fathers tonight, and this is Tammy Nelson with The First Man.
Last time, my heart ever be the same. The one man I'll be loving from the first day to the last day of my life.
And that was Tammy Nielsen with The First Man. Now, I've changed guests and I've made a phone call, and now we are being joined by Sasha Copeland, who is the artistic director and choreographer of Java Dance Theatre and their production happening in the festival called The Tantrum. Kia ora.
Kia ora.
Now, where are you phoning from?
Wellington.
So is that where Java Dance Theatre is based?
Yeah, absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about Java Dance Theatre.
Yeah, well, we've been going for more than 20 years. We make work that is often in quite different environments. So we've toured a work all around the world that's on a moving bus. Our work's often got like theatrical elements and can be quite immersive. And we integrate live music with it as well. So kind of a fusion of dance theatre and live music. And, really passionate about work that explores kind of what people are like and interesting scenarios between them, I guess.
Fantastic. So tell us a little bit about The Tantrum.
Yeah, so The Tantrum is a show we made for young people and their families. And it's kind of looking at, I guess, emotional regulation and how everyone sometimes throws their toys, but doing it in a super imaginative way. So it feels a bit like a kind of storybook adventure as well. So our characters all start in a tiny home sort of vibe, but it's covered in AstroTurf. So it has this kind of backyard, but quite squishy, Fano feel. And then they sort of venture out into the wider world and come across all these crazy scenarios and creatures and everything like that, but it's about how it's tricky to regulate in amongst all that, or not get a little bit overwhelmed. And also about sibling relationships.
Now, it says that this is kind of the target audience is 3 to 8 year olds.
Yeah.
So how do you know what a 3-year-old would like to, like, what makes it accessible for a 3-year-old?
That is a fabulous question. So we worked heaps with little ones in the process. So when we were developing the work, we worked with some little ones and also with 100 5-year-olds.
Whoa!
So we did a whole term where we'd come in twice a week and we asked the 5-year-olds what creates tantrums. We asked them to show us what a tantrum looked like, what it sounded like, what it felt like. We got them to solve our tantrums we acted out. We asked them hilarious questions like, are big emotions more difficult than pouring a litre of milk? looking at like what is difficult and what they find hard and
Well, so, I suppose for a 5-year-old, pouring milk would be hard because, you know, you've got that whole, motor neuron, and it's quite heavy.
It's really heavy, and you've got to balance it, and you've got to pour it just the right amount, or it'll, like, splash everywhere. I think lots of them said pouring milk, which I thought was very cute. But also, it's like pouring milk is actually like dealing with emotions because you need some emotions to flow, to enjoy everything and to feel the world. But you also can't just tip the whole liter of them out all at once. So it's like, they're kind of similar. So, it was interesting chatting to kids about it and hearing their take on it and what they thought about it. And I think, that's really fed into the world of the work.
So what kind, or who, I shouldn't say what, who works with Java Dance or who performs with?
Yeah, so we have amazing dancers in the show. So Ella Williams has been working with Java for ages. She's the daughter of two dancer parents, and she is, makes her own work as well. She's Canadian, Trinidadian, Pakeha, New Zealander, and just a stunning mover and actress, really. And then Lachlan Broughton, who, as well as a graduate of the New Zealand School of Arts, beautiful, quite virtuosic mover, Australian. And Tristan Carter is our musical collaborator we've worked with for ages. So all the music's played live, and it's got keyboards in the show that are part of the set. So he acts in the show as well, and as a character, and the dancers also play the keyboards and dance. So it's a tight team of three, but they do an awful lot.
Cool. And how did it all begin for you? Where did dancing or being part of a dance theatre company come from for you?
Yeah, well, I grew up in the South Island in a tiny little town near Christchurch. And I used to just, make imaginary worlds when I was little. And there was heaps of space, out in the paddocks and stuff. So I'd just move and dance and run around and cartwheel while making imaginary worlds. And I think I haven't actually changed that much. So, I obviously got formal training, and I did ballet, and then went to the New Zealand School of Dance. But I think always the imagination aspect of it was really important for me. How do you tell stories through dance, and how do you create worlds where the audience can kind of enter into a space and get a little bit swept away? So, I think I just started Java because I felt like I had to.
Okay, no, that's fair enough. And do you think being in Wellington, because you have got things like New Zealand Dance School there, has that mean that it's maybe provided a platform for people graduating to move on into professional dance?
Yeah, absolutely. We've been so delighted to be so many dancers' first jobs. And we've also been delighted to have dancers who've stayed with us for up to 10 years. And I teach there as a guest tutor and run a program at New Zealand School of Dance. So I'm pretty, it's a pretty nice connection to have. And we really do, New Zealand creates phenomenal dancers. And we're known for that around the world. So I think it's a really nice to have that relationship with New Zealand School of Dance. And also, there's something really fun about giving dancers their first job too.
So thinking about a little bit off topic, because I know we're talking about your show, but I think it's kind of coming around that time of year where young artists might be thinking about auditioning for things like dance school and that.
Yeah.
As a graduate of a dance school, is there anything that you wish you knew before you started dance school, or that you had done more of?
Maybe this is a cliche, but so much of it is to be brave rather than to be correct, or to be brave rather than trying to just kind of fulfill the mold. Especially in contemporary dance, I actually was on a audition panel just the other day. I think we do want to see how people actually move. How does this particular person move, and what makes them I think is really actually important in the arts. That's what people are bringing at the end of the day. They bring their own experience, their own identity, their passions, their fears, and it's being brave in that vulnerability, and being brave in, almost admitting how you move, because everyone has quirks and stuff, rather than just trying to be like everyone else or trying to,
Well, you're not auditioning to be a rockette where you have to be identical, right?
Yeah, you're not. You're not at all. And I think... Yeah, I think particularly in contemporary dance, actually, it is about being able to move in new ways. It's contemporary.
Definitely. And then having now graduated and working for a number of years, what do you think people getting to a graduation stage need to be aware of, or hopefully have learnt?
Oh, yeah, that's maybe a more gnarly question. So I think... Actually, not taking rejection personally is a really important skill. And to be honest, it doesn't matter like how far you get up in your career or like, you know, but Java is relatively consistently funded, but we still sometimes won't get funded. And, you know, watching younger people come through, it's so easy to be crushed by one rejection or, you know, a choreographer who doesn't like you or anything like that. And it's often not even really about you. So I think, yeah, just that, yeah, learning from rejection, but taking it with a bit of a grain of salt. Because there's so many surprises. Like, you know, like some of the shows, like the Tantrum we made under such hard conditions, like it was during the pandemic, Capital E Theatre, it was like the last festival they did and they were just sort of closing really just after we did it. They did one more tour, but they were in, you know, it was a difficult time for the organisation. I think the season got postponed twice because of lockdown, the first premiere season. And now the work has all this life. We've just done a schools tour. We're doing another schools tour next year as well as the Auckland Live season. We've signed with an Australian agent. We've got dates in 2027 for it. So it's like, but actually that work almost didn't happen about five times. So just when, yeah, that's what the career's like. You got to kind of roll with it and be a little bit stubborn.
And the thing is too, sometimes the doors close because of better things on the other side. Like you may not have got the same audiences had you done it that close to COVID. You may not have got the same people coming along to support.
Totally. And it's also like, when is a work needed more? Like right now, I feel like young'uns like really need to have live experiences. Like I think, you know, post-COVID, they needed kind of a more settling sort of time in a way. Whereas now I think actually the need for people to be together in the room and to celebrate and have beauty and imagination and music and dance, I think it's because it has been quite a tricky climate and, you know, there's a few bad news stories in the news at the moment. So I feel like actually that joy is needed now.
Well, I think too, touching on what you said about also being somewhere and getting live experiences. I mean, gosh, we need to fill the room with a few politicians who don't realise about the importance of arts, really, don't we?
Yeah, because I think when people are in the room and feel that live transformation, it really makes a difference. Because, you know, the idea, when you just say art, it kind of it can almost seem quite small or contained or for only a certain type of person. But actually, like we just did a South Island Schools Tour and we were performing to kids, like 5-year-olds, 3-year-olds, 7-year-olds who had never seen anything like it. You know, and just having the wide eyes, like their eyes just go wide. And it's, yeah, they're seeing a show and it's a fun show, but they're also actually going, oh, whoa, there's heaps of other things that are possible that I didn't realize. Like the world is big and there's so many possibilities, and just seeing that in their eyes and them go super wide is like, yeah, I think it genuinely makes a difference.
And now to have an audience of that kind of age group too, they must give you the most honest feedback there is.
They do. They absolutely do. And we had all through the process of creating that, we would do showings. But like, it was often my friends' kids. But, yeah, we'd do showings for different groups of younger ones. And, man, the freshness of their reaction is so satisfying. Like, there's a few bits, they're not really scary, but they are a bit scary. Like, there's some real tension in moments and, like, almost that kind of needing to hide under the blanket sort of feeling, but also wanting to see what's out there. And just how much they come with you, like, you know, they're not sitting back from it going, what do I think of this? Is it interesting? Like, they, especially when it's physical as well, I think.
Well, and the thing is, if they weren't coming with you, that would be great feedback as well, because that would mean that the show's not quite working and then you would be able to adjust, right?
100%. Like, we did have one bit in one of it, because a show goes through a few iterations before it gets to the premiere. So you workshop it and you change things and you test things. And there was one bit in it that the kids just clearly got bored. Like, my friend has two boys who were 7, I think, and they just started running around in the bit they found boring.
I love it.
And so they gave us information, and it's like about the tempo of it and the rhythm of things. Yeah. That is not in it anymore.
That is so cool. So you're up here at the Herald Theatre, which is an interesting theatre in itself as well. Like the kids, that's quite a sensory experience just to be in the Herald.
Yeah, it's cool to have that. I mean, I think they'll be excited to be in the venue, and because it's so steep, it almost feels like a mountain or something. Mm. And I think that really suits the work, because when they go out into kind of the wild world, it has that sort of feeling. And also just to get kids, like, I know for schools in particular, and maybe for parents too, it can be quite challenging to come into town and, you know, park and thought buses and all of that. But I actually think it's so great for kids, and especially kids that maybe, you know, some of them would have been born around the pandemic or just after, like, to get out there, get into the city, go to a magical space that some of them will never have been in before is awesome.
Fantastic. And what's coming up after this for Java Dance Theatre?
Yeah, so we're going to the Taranaki Arts Festival with a different work, but a work we've been doing for a really long time, like since 2008, and that's Back of the Bus, so our work on a moving bus. We're doing it for the Reimagine Festival in New Plymouth in mid-October. And then, yeah, then after that, more tantruming. Lots more tantruming for the next few years.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for giving us some time to talk about the tantrum on a Sunday night. I know that it's never easy on a Sunday night. The last thing we probably want to do is be thinking about work. But we wish you all the best for your season here as part of We the Young Festival. Your performances are happening on the 20th and the 21st of September, I believe.
Yes.
So if you've got young people, get along and find out what it means to have a tantrum.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Now we're going to take a quick music break. It's Kobe D and Stan Walker with their Father's Day special song, Father's Eyes.
Still rolling? Oh, yeah, sir. Cool.
Gonna get better. Had to make it through the rain, cause life don't stop for the weather. Had to change my life around, cause I forgot my endeavors. If I ain't do this for my daughter, what the hell would I tell her? I kiss her head when she asleep. Think about the times when I was down and I was weak. When she was just a newborn, I was out here in these streets. I was consuming anything that made me feel like I was free. But I was hurt and I was empty, I was dead inside. Couldn't count how many days I made her mother cry. We was young and full of problems we ain't put aside. Dealing with some trauma, we forgot that she was on the ride. I finally understand this was the same for my mom and my dad. I was 21, but they was even younger than that. Mom was 16 and pregnant when she finally had her firstborn, and my father would find to become a dad, unaware of what it takes, man, he was only a kid. Couldn't blame him for the things that he eventually did. As I get older, I can see through all the cracks that he slipped, and it's a shame, but it is what it is, and I'ma keep on singing.
You could see it through my eyes, you could see how hard I try, yeah. Just like around and around we go, and it won't stop till I say so. So come and take a look inside.
From my father's eyes, and through the lies it took a lot of time to realize. Everybody got their struggles in this game of life. I did the same thing, so really who am I to criticize? I changed my life and went a different route. Found the strength for my daughter and finally made it out. So many parents never find the strength to make it out. We're focused on ourselves, but the seeds we planted are gonna sprout. So if you're fortunate to make a life, then you owe it to that kid to really raise them right. Cause they ain't asked to be born and shouldn't have to fight these battles that we fought ourselves through each and every night. It's up to us to break these cycles now. Learned that all from my mother, she always made us proud. Make sure we never went without a father. To my daughter, that's my mother's love without a doubt.
You could see it through my eyes, you could see how hard I try, yeah. Just like around and round we go, and it won't stop till I say so. So come and take a look.
father's eyes.
Is it getting better? Or do you feel the same? Will it make it easier on you now? You got someone to blame. One love, one life, one need tonight. One love, we get to share it. Leave your baby if you don't even care.
Just want to be great by any means in every part of our lives. I'm trying to get this right. So we don't get this twice. A role model to these kids that say I fit that nice. That ain't really how I feel at night. I'll play thinking how can I be better for my daughter and son. In a panic in my head before this moment's begun. Thinking man I gotta make it while he's still in his mom. I kiss her head and feel the air in my lungs and breathe out now. I take it back in. I see my daughter soaking in and watching all my actions. So every step I take I'm well aware of every friend. Controlling all emotions so she never see me lacking. I done made a few mistakes, but see, I came right back. Found therapy and music, that's the reason I rap. All these rappers want to hit to put their name on a map. But I'm just pouring out my heart on a track, and that's the truth now.
If you could see it through my eyes.
Loving these Father's Day songs. It's great. Now we're jumping to, that was Ponaki before, and now we're jumping over to Christchurch. And joining us from Christchurch, from Cubbon Theatre, is Mel Luckman. Kia ora.
Kia ora.
You are in Christchurch, aren't you? Or are you up here already?
Yep, no, we're still in Christchurch. We're here, and then we'll head up next Monday to get ready for our show.
Cool. So tell us, first of all, before we talk about the specific show, tell us a little bit about Cubbon Theatre.
So we created Cubbon Theatre in 2018, and it was when I had my own child. I knew nothing about babies and stuff before I had my own kids. And then I had my own, and I was like, I want to take them to theatre and stuff because I'm a theatre director. And I was like, there must be stuff out there for little people and stuff. And there didn't seem to be anything in New Zealand. So I Googled it, and lo and behold, there's a whole sort of sector of the arts that is for babies overseas, and they're doing all these incredible shows. And we got really inspired and decided we'd create our own. And here we are this many years later.
So this particular piece is called Up and Away.
Yes.
Now, it says that it's a gentle sensory performance, so for pre-walking babies. Now, I actually asked Sasha before from Java Dance Theatre, whose piece is for 3 to 8-year-olds, how do you know what to do for someone that is a pre-walking baby?
You ask the experts. So we, when we created, this is the first show we ever created, and we got a speech and language therapist to help us create the show, and she was incredible, Mary Cronin, and she had worked a lot with children and stuff, and so she knew all about the beginning development of language and sort of what attracts children, babies, to language and music, and why music and certain sounds and movements and stuff are so appealing for them, and sort of what makes their brains start to tick. So she was a huge inspiration for us, and then other bits of sort of neuroscience and child development stuff that's out there. We sort of did a lot of research and tested stuff on babies as well, and sort of, you know, got friends in that had little babies and stuff, and went, oh, if we do this, are they interested? And nope, they're going to crawl away, or they're going to look away, or, you know, but if we do this, oh, look, they're leaning in or they're reaching forward. They're, you know, you can sort of start to really see. Once you tune into babies, you can, they start to tell you a lot. They're actually really, really good communicators.
So this is quite different for you, though, because you trained as a director. I'm assuming that was to direct slightly older people than babies?
Yeah. Yeah, grown-ups, yeah.
Mm. So yeah, how was that transition for you to go from directing older people to coming up with a piece of work for babies?
It was really interesting and different because there's no narrative anymore. Like for little babies, they don't care what the story is exactly. They don't care, you know, like who the characters are and why they're there and things like that. It's all about really honing down into the immediate sort of moment with that baby. You know, they're right there in front of you and they're like, I'm here right now. What have you got? And so there's nowhere to hide, which is incredible. You don't, you know, they're never going to be polite about whether or not they're into it. They're going to be so honest, which is glorious, actually really challenging, but really glorious as a director to work with an audience that they're so open, you know. So if they don't like it, that's cool. But when they do, man, it's magic. It's just so wonderful.
Mm. So tell me a little bit about what is the setup of a show when you're doing it for this kind of age group? Are they sitting in the chairs in the audience, or are you all in a big circle, or how does it work?
Yeah, so part of their sort of, you know, like their honesty really is that we've got to let them be however they want to be. So we have this lovely big sort of open sided white tent that we use, and everybody sits in a circle on some lovely cushions, and then the two performers are in the middle, and there's only up to 12 babies per performance, so it's really intimate. So the babies can be right there and they can move wherever they like. The performers have often, you know, sung songs with babies sitting on their laps, or, you know, trying to play the ukulele in front of them, things like that. It's every performance is so different, and that's what makes it so wonderful.
So that must take a pretty special person to be a performer in this case as well, because I'm assuming they kind of potentially need to pivot a lot during the performance depending on what's happening in front of them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like the performance itself is set, but it's quite flexible, so that, yeah, depending on how the babies are, they can move and shift as the babies respond. And it's almost very one-on-one. And a lot of people that, or grown-ups that come along with their babies, they actually find it really relaxing because the performers are only performing to the babies. It really is. It's not like it's sort of like, we're entertaining you as well as your child and stuff. Like, you get the entertainment from watching your child really respond to this performance and these performers giving their all to the children in front of them.
I love that you've only got 12 there. At the start of the show, I was talking to Rosa about the fact that we had been to the same show on Thursday night, which is a new musical, which has 8 people in a minivan. So 12 babies in a tent, I think sounds really good, and probably easier, actually.
Yeah, definitely easier than a room full of babies. But yeah, I reckon there's a real move towards intimacy in performing arts. I think it's, people are realising that that's what's so magic about it, you know. You can, when you can get really up there with the performers and stuff, and things like, you know, Tom's show in a van, and, you know, I think Sasha's done shows in a bus and stuff as well.
Yeah, the back of the bus. Yeah, she was talking about that,
Yeah, so I think it's a magic thing, you know.
So how did you get into performance? Tell us a little bit about your journey.
I did amateur theatre for a very long time. It was my passion. And then I hit about 30 and went, oh, you know, like, now's the time. I don't have any ties. I don't have any mortgage or kids or anything. So I went off and did a master's in theatre arts and directing through Toi Whakaari and Victoria University, and made my passion my career, really, and sort of never looked back. And I sort of started off as the associate director at the Court Theatre, and then sort of once I had my own kids, I was freelancing, still freelancing as a grown-up director, as well as creating Coven, yeah, which I feel like I've really found my calling, like my purpose as a theatre director, is working with the young children, yeah.
That's fantastic. And, you know, so much is happening now down in Christchurch. And what do you think of the new Court Theatre?
Oh, it's so beautiful. Honestly, we're so, so lucky to have that beautiful building and that company here. We, you know, like they're such a special company and they're so passionate about what they do. And they really are like a family. Like, we, you know, there's always the joke that once you join a theatre company or be part of a theatre company like that, that you're stuck with them, you know. And it feels like that. Everyone really cares so much about the Court Theatre and they really want to see them succeed and do beautiful work and stuff. So, yeah, we're so lucky to have this beautiful new theatre and, yeah, it's cool.
Fantastic. So when do you... Your show up here is from the 16th to the 21st of September?
Yes, that's correct.
So that's that last week of school term before they all go crazy with holidays and trying to...
Yep.
Fantastic. And what are you most looking forward to about this performance?
I think coming back to Auckland is a really special thing for us. We have performed Up and Away before in Auckland at Auckland Live, and I think it was 2019, so it was quite a long time ago. And there were such incredible audiences, and I think we're just really looking forward to being back with Auckland Live and being part of this awesome festival too, which is just so essential in New Zealand at the moment to have a children's performing arts festival. So, yeah, we're really stoked to be part of that.
And fingers crossed, because as Rosa was saying earlier, this is a pilot of this new festival, so hopefully it all goes well and it becomes a regular annual event.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, we're crossing our fingers. We're very much of the opinion that more is more. And for children's theatre, you know, like, we just want to see more people creating the work, more people, you know, serving that audience. And so things like the We the Young Festival really helps towards that.
Fabulous. Now, where can people, if they want to know more about or learn more about Cubbon Theatre, where can they find information?
So you can get your tickets for the show from AucklandLive.co.nz, and if you want to know more, and on that website there's obviously lots of information about the show and about Cubbon, or you can go to our website, which is just cubbon.co.nz, cubbin.co.nz.
Fabulous. Well, we wish you all the best for Up and Away, and I hope those babies stay under control. And all the best. Thank you so much for coming on to Kick Arts on a Sunday night.
Pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks. Now, while that was going on, I got a very special surprise in the studio, and it wasn't the big bunch of flowers that arrived earlier in the week for my birthday. Someone walked through the door that I wasn't expecting. So, kia ora, special guest.
Kia ora, Emma. Hey, listeners. Great to pop in and check in. It's been a while.
I'm wondering if he's come to check up on me to make sure that I'm keeping his seat warm and that I'm not going to be sitting here when he's back to join us.
Well, I've been listening. What a great festival this is. Like, I've been listening going, I'm actually quite jealous that we're not part of it. This is so cool.
I know. There's some amazing things happening, isn't there?
And I loved your comment about the school day. Like, that to me would have been heaven to be a 5 to 8 year old, or as you say, a teacher, and go and spend a day seeing 3 different theatre works and then a tour of the Civic and seeing a bit of Priscilla up and set up on the stage. What a cool event. Way to go, Auckland Live and all the sponsors.
Yeah, definitely. So you're home for the night. Did you not have rehearsal this evening in Tauranga?
We had an amazing 7 days of runs and final dress rehearsals, but we wrapped by 5 tonight, so everyone can have a bit of a break before Tuesday's final dress for Jersey Boys, and then we open Wednesday with our sponsors night and Thursday the official opening. So I decided to shoot home, got a few things to do for work tomorrow, and just that need to do washing and all those things when you're away for a few weeks.
Yeah, crazy.
So I thought, you know, just stop in, check your behaving.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we've got one more guest joining us shortly for We the Young Festival. So while I get them on the phone, let's go quite a few years back, actually. Again, it's a Father's Day song. In fact, well, it's not really a Father's Day song. It's a song about Dad, and it's actually from Dunedin University band, The Headless Chickens. Now, I wonder how many of our listeners can relate to this, because this song is called Totaling Dad's Car.
Brilliant.
Stephen, did you ever total your dad's car?
No, I totaled mine, though, on the first day of getting it, and then totaled the next one 1 week later after getting that. So my first two cars didn't go well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You're really going back in the archives for this music tonight, Emma.
I know. Well, actually, I didn't use New Hatchlings this week because, of course, these are older songs. I typed in Kiwi artists singing dad's songs, and this is the list that came up.
Love it. Headless chickens. Brilliant.
Yeah. Well, now we're jumping over to speak to Liam, who is an artist with Rocket Arts and Events. And in We the Young, he's got an event called A Taste of Art Battle, which intrigues me, Liam.
Hello there.
So where are you calling, start off with, where are you calling from? Whereabouts are you in Aotearoa?
I'm just outside Auckland in Langholm, Titirangi Way.
Cool.
Out west.
So tell us, first of all, what is Rocket Art and Events?
Well, essentially it's been my business for about 20 years or so, and it has very recently turned into an events, art events kind of director, my own artistic endeavours. I'm resident artist at Eden Park, so I paint live at Eden Park, and I also produce events, art events, for primarily Art Battle, which is a global 12 artists event whereby you take on the rest of the world is the end game, and we get all around Auckland these days. It's community wide. It's real focus is for adults, and a brand new initiative has been for the kids, and that's where We the Young comes in. Really exciting.
So they battle because they've got to paint something in a certain amount of time, or how does the battle work?
Yeah, it's 20-minute battles, so it's just a showcase of their talent, the artist's talent. It's usually a call to artists, and the audience decides who goes through in two rounds, 20-minute rounds. We have DJ and an MC, and it's just a lot of fun. It's a creative platform, really, for artists to showcase their talents and styles and techniques. And then the audience, it's interactive. They get involved, pick their favourites. They go through to a third and final round because it's two rounds of six. And then we have two going through from each round to a final of four. So three rounds throughout an evening or an afternoon.
And who decides what they're going to paint in that 20 minutes?
It is completely open, so we try not to inflict too many rules. The only rules, really, with Art Battle is no toxic substances and no pre-planned or patterns or templates or anything like that. So you see the creative process from start to finish. But it really is, it's fast and furious, obviously. 20 minutes isn't very long.
And are they allowed to use any medium, like, or is it just paint, or what is
any
the
medium?
Art? Any medium, okay.
Any medium, but everybody has the same size canvas, so they all start off, you know, on the same footing.
Very cool. And is this something that you've been a part of as well, or are you more producing from the outside?
It is. This is how I got into it. Just I was invited to a charity version of this event in Christchurch about 3 years ago, and it was so much fun. I ended up speaking with the HQ, who's based in Canada, after the event, and talking through opportunities, and they wanted to bring it to New Zealand, or if there could be an opportunity. I said, well, let's bring it to Auckland. That's where I am, and they're going to love it. They love it half as much as I did. It could have legs, and one thing's led to another, and we do it very much our own way in New Zealand. It's kind of evolved into a more of a community kind of on the road. So we have our Art Battle, New Lynn Art Battle, Parnell Art Battle, Devonport, and so on, you know, and we take it around all around the suburbs, and then we have a grand final at Eden Park every year. Yeah, and it's just a whole lot of fun.
Very cool. I actually think, too, from just putting on a teacher kind of visual arts kind of hat, I think this kind of a structure is really cool, too, because if you've only got 20 minutes, it doesn't actually allow you too long to think. So you've actually just got to go for it, right? Because that's one of the biggest things with kids in art that I used to always find was they thought so much and there'd be so much rubbing out and so much, oh no, that's not good enough, and wanting to start again. But if you've only got 20 minutes, you can't do that.
That's right. No, that's true. And I mean, a little bit of pre-planning doesn't hurt. I always recommend maybe limit your palette. Probably don't need to go overboard with the amount of colours you bring to the party. but you know, everyone's unique. Everyone does it their own way. Some people ignore that entirely and still come up with their own sort of mini masterpiece. And to their own. And that's what's so good about it is we have having so many artists under the one roof is really inspiring for the audience. And we have a lot of younger members coming along to our art battles. The majority are family friendly. So yeah, it's just a super inspiring, a lot of fun.
Brilliant. Now, when you said at the start you're the resident artist at Eden Park and you're painting there, is that just part of this art battle or are you there on a regular basis? I've just got visions of you in the middle of a rugby field in a rugby game painting furiously.
That could be the next thing to propose, couldn't it? Yeah, maybe at half time. No, I was there for the All Blacks was that last night? It's all in the world. Well, I was painting from about 4 till 10 last night, and generally you'll find me with a shared canvas so people can come along and paint alongside me, and they position me somewhere around the park, and then I take it home afterwards because I generally haven't finished in the time that I'm there, and it all goes, the artwork goes up on a wall, a gallery that we're building at Eden Park called Park Life, which showcases sort of documenting the history of the bigger events at Eden Park. Creatively, which is really exciting.
That is so cool. And how come we hadn't heard about this? This is really cool. Maybe I don't go to Eden Park enough, or maybe when I do go to Eden Park, I only go into a certain part, you know, and you're maybe positioned in a different part.
I often will be in the VIP area because I get the halfway line view, which is obviously favourable from getting a perspective of the event. So sometimes I'm up there, but I've been all over the park. No, we just need to advertise a bit harder, don't we?
So
it's still fairly new. The whole concept's been growing over the last year or so with the gallery that's evolving as well.
So are you painting moments, like when you say you can see the halfway line, are you like painting a realistic something from the match?
Sometimes, yes. It depends what it is. It was Coldplay or Pink or, you know, whatever the event or the cricket. And sometimes I move around to various positions or I gather photographs and, you know, the essence of the event. And then I might take it home afterwards.
That is so cool. And do you have a preferred medium?
I have no patience. I like acrylic because it dries super quick and you can just keep working over the top like we were talking about for the kids as well. You know, that's usually the go-to for the fast arts too.
So for kids thinking of signing up for this Taste of Art battle, what advice, sort of prep work could they do, training at home, that sort of thing? Is it literally put the stop clock on and stopwatch on and see if they can achieve something in 20 minutes? Like, what advice would you give them?
Yeah, definitely. That's good practice is to give the 20-minute stop clock a go, see what you can achieve in that time. We're actually changing the rules slightly for the Taste of Art battle because we're going to have a transient crowd moving in because there's going to be people that want to see all of the attractions. We haven't got a... through, they can come and just get a taste of what we do. So we're just going to have a continuous 20-minute rounds where we'll have one winner selected by the audience, and they'll be celebrated. All the work will go up for sale, and only in New Zealand with 100% of whatever's sold, whatever the bidding achieves, goes straight to the artist, which I'm really proud of. So there's no gaps between rounds really, other than this a quick fire auction. And the 20 minutes is whatever you come up with. So everybody's going to be a wild card. You put your name in the hat on the day, and hopefully you'll be selected for that round. And if not, then you go support your friends or, you know, put your name in the hat for the next.
Yeah, that's really cool. And it's one of the free events that's happening at We the Young. So as Rosa was saying earlier, you can go along maybe to a ticket event, watch a sit-down show, something, and then this is something that you get a taste of, go before the show, go after the show, be a part of it. So that's fantastic. Now, where can people find out more about Rocket Art and events and maybe where you are around Auckland, Tamaki, Makaurau at another time?
Sure. Well, to follow up, I would recommend just for up-to-date posts, we would recommend Instagram, probably, Auckland Art. Art Battle Auckland on Instagram. And then rocketart.com for a more...
Looks brilliant. We obviously, Langholm hasn't installed that cell phone tower yet, Liam. You're cutting out a little bit there. But I think we got the gist of it. And of course, for everything they can, head to aucklandlive.co.nz.
Fantastic. So thanks for coming on a Sunday night, Liam. And we wish you all the best for the art battle. And people, when you're going to Eden Park next, keep an eye out. Yep. You've cut out. Sorry, Liam. Thanks so much. Good night. Wow, that sounded quite fun.
Well, it sounded fun, but I'm more interested that someone's at Eden Park painting live all these events and things. It reminded me of a story I read recently about, you know, the English and American courtrooms that still have the person creating the photos because they don't allow photography inside a courtroom. So there's still someone drawing for newspaper articles, etc. It's still happening today. And it's around the privacy. And they interviewed this lady, and she'd been doing it for something like 50 years. And the money was really good, but it was that intense thing, is she's only got certain moments that she can capture within a time frame to get it out in the newspapers that night. Really interesting. Didn't know he was there. We'll have to look out next time you and I are at the rugby.
Yeah, because we go to the rugby so often, don't we?
I love it when he said, you know, the game last night, and we both looked at each other for a second.
Well, it was quite funny, actually, because... So I mentioned at the start of the top of the show that I had been to three theatre/musicals. Well, on Saturday night, that was last night, by the way. I went to Franklin's Got Talent, which is kind of a knockoff of, you know, a Britain's Got Talent or New Zealand Got Talent. So they had a number of entries, and last night the top 20 were on show, and there were four judges, including Andre Vegas, the illusionist. And a couple of other people. And yeah, it was a really, really good night out to see people up on stage doing what they love out in Franklin and having a really good time. But why I brought that up was there were a couple of people in the audience with their phones out watching the rugby.
Yeah. Yeah, look, we even had a little bit of that last night at rehearsal. There was a desperate need for us to finish slightly early because they all needed to go off and watch it. Yeah, it was obviously quite a big game.
And I thought it was funny too because, of course, then you had the MC kind of saying, does anyone want to know the score? And people were going, no! And one or two people were like, yeah, go on, tell us. And, yeah, so it was all hush-hush because, of course, this day and age, a lot of people who are going to be out are going to use Sky Record or something like that, aren't they? And they're going to record it.
Yeah, but your phone app's telling you the score if you've got the Herald or anything like that. It's giving you regular updates. Tell me more about this Uber musical you went to. This sounded amazing.
Oh, so Tom Knowles, who was in here a few weeks ago, So, and I happened to be there. The funniest thing was Taylor, our co-host, was there with her husband, Ruben.
I saw her in a photo. I did wonder.
Yeah, so that was totally unexpected to have Rubes and Taylor there. So, yes, there were eight of us. Eight of us in the van and Terry, the Uber driver. So, yeah, it's all about him being an Uber driver, and he kind of goes back in history and tells us a little bit how he met his wife. And he's got screens, he's got karaoke screens. So some of the songs are slight adaptions of known songs, but most of them are written by himself. And so he gets you to follow along, and there's little bits where you're meant to ooh and ah and kind of be like his backing singers and different things. And then different moments you have to be involved with. But it was so unexpected.
Does the van actually travel or do you stay put?
You stay put. So it's on this concrete slab right outside the basement, which is where quite often they have their little food trucks serving food and stuff. But yeah, I think, as you heard Rosa say too, the funniest thing was people walking past. And yeah, it was just so cool. And she said that she was there on a work thing, and they were, so all eight were people they knew. Whereas obviously Donna and I were there, but then I knew two other people. Tom knew two other people as well. And then there was two complete strangers who happened to be from Melbourne and were flying out to Melbourne that night. And so were just doing something to fill in the time before they went to the airport.
Brilliant. What an experience.
Yeah, just so cool.
Great hearing the arts, you know, doing some really different things in the space.
Definitely. And, of course, you've got Jersey Boys opening this week. But then after that, we've got our double bill happening. So the school holidays are going to be a crazy time for a lot of performing arts companies around.
Yeah, lots happening, lots of different events on. I think also parents are recognising it's a good, you know, put your kids in a theatre program in the holidays, just like we heard, you know, with this, a festival coming up. It's a great way to keep your kids occupied that's a little bit different.
And actually, we might as well blow our own trumpets. Like, ours is quite, you know, it's quite a good price for a week worth of 9 to 5s. And then at the end of it, they've got 4 public showings to be able to show what they've learned.
That's the thing, the magic of a performance. It's not just learning the craft, but getting to put it into practice. That's the exciting bit, let's face it. That's the bit they're all in for.
And it's pretty cool too, because the parents coming along to the Big 1-0 and Newsies are going to see both shows, two very, very different musicals that are an hour long each.
Yeah. Now, since I last saw you, you've zipped off to Australia as well for, that was a festival?
Yeah, that was the Junior Theatre Festival in Melbourne. Yep.
How did that go?
Oh, it was amazing. It was good to be back with our international whānau as well. And, of course, our festival here is only 6 weeks away now. And then the week after that is the... So that was actually the celebration in Melbourne, which is a smaller one. It happens in Melbourne. There were only 15 groups there in comparison to the one that they do in October, the week after ours, the big festival in Newcastle. There will be 24 groups there.
That is so cool. So cool. What else have you got coming up?
I feel like I'm really busy at the moment, mainly because there's lots of things to do before the festival as well. But we've also got Sister Act, the New Zealand premiere of Sister Act Junior, happening the week before our double bill, and that's in Queenstown. And I'm also trying to put together my 2026 program to announce what's happening in 26. And then also I'm doing the costuming and vocal coaching for Ormiston Junior's Beauty and the Beast Junior at the moment, which is, you know, part of my day job where I'm there 2 days a week. So that's really cool as well. I love costuming. The designing part is something that I just love doing.
That is so cool. But that is a crazy schedule for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah. Well, so 6 weeks really if you put the festival into it. And then come the start of November, it's kind of a quiet roll into the end of the year. A few kids sitting exams, a few kids doing, obviously we've got our end of year showcase and awards, and then Christmas.
And for Christmas, are we seeing Queen Street getting up and running and practicing and getting back into gear?
No, we're not doing a Queen Street gig. Unfortunately,
it's just not Christmas without Queen Street.
I know. So, unfortunately, Chantel, one of our queens, is moving down to the Mount.
Oh.
And so we're down to 3. And trying to actually find a date where we can all perform. So this year what we're doing for Christmas is, because our awards have got so big for Stage Antics, we are having a pink carpet event with all the awards and some performances. And the 3 queens that are left will probably do a number or 2 during that showcase. But we want to make it more about the kids.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah. And what about you for the end of the year? This finishes, then you've got, we've got Kids for Drama, Stage Antics, Double
Show
Bill.
Show of the week, and then Term 4 sees us back with the AUT medical students, helping them with their medical exams. We create the live patients for them for all their final exams before we work with Danza with their big end of year showcase at Bruce Mason, which brings musical theatre and dance alive for, I think, about 600 performers over
Crazy.
A couple of days. So yeah, the year doesn't not quite winding down, but it's not quite as crazy as yours.
Well, we've also got the theatre list in. It was in nice and early tonight. So a reminder that until this weekend, we've got Potluck, an improvised comedy soap opera with the Mischief company, and that's happening at the Vic in Devonport. Check that out at thevic.co.nz. Now, they stole my name. Expect the unexpected. Auckland Central Gang Show. They have their theatrical production spearheaded by Scouts and Girl Guides, featuring a review-style format that incorporates singing, dancing and acting. There's between 50 to 200 people in it, which is huge, and that's happening at the Spotlight Theatre in Papatoa from the 1st of September to the 13th. So it's on at the moment. It's only got another week until the weekend. Find out more at iTicket. Dirty Dusting, Waiuku Theatre Group, until this weekend, have got outrageous laughs and unexpected twists in a cheeky comedy where three cleaners face redundancy. A misdialed phone call sparks a wild idea, launching a secret telephone sex line. Ooh, sounds like a good one.
In Waiuku.
In Waiuku. Mother's Play is currently on. That's with Silo Theatre. Meet Phyllis, the Herman family matriarch, armed with gin and cigarettes, clinging for long unfulfilled dreams. Ooh! Her children, Carl and Martha, are on the cusp of adulthood in a rapidly changing America, ready to spread their wings and embrace their freedoms. So you can check that out at the Q Theatre. It's on till the 20th of September. Silotheatre.co.nz. Mother Play. What else have we got there? The Rabbit Hole is on at Howick Little Theatre in Pakuranga. Check that out at Howick Little Theatre. So that is Becca and Howie Corbett are struggling to find their way after losing their son in a tragic accident. As they drift apart, Becca's family try to offer a well-intentioned support, but their own complicated lives only add to the troubles. So it's recommended for 16 and over. And then in a couple of weeks, we're talking, I think, to the Kohanga Festival.
We are, yeah.
At Te Pau, so we'll wait to talk about that. And then there's lots of things coming up, and a lot of them are coming on the show, but not all of them. So if you've got something coming up in the arts world, any kind of arts, anywhere, let us know. Send us an email at info@kickarts.org.nz or drop us a message on one of our social media so that we can schedule you in. We are kind of filling up again, aren't we?
Definitely, definitely. So giving us a bit of notice is great. So now's the time to tell us things all the way up to Christmas. Then we can guarantee to get you on. But yeah, contacting us for next week always gets hard. Now, I heard you at the top of the show thank the Dolphin Theatre once again for their continued support. We are looking for a sponsor and always looking for sponsors and support. So email us info@kickarts.org.nz. We can hit reply and tell you how you can help us out.
Yeah, definitely. We're always keen as well for Kiwi music. As I said, we haven't used New Hatchlings this week because Dr. Google helped me out. But we love hearing about new music, and it's been great the last couple of weeks, actually, seeing so much on my social media. Maybe it's just my algorithms, I don't know. But from Wes Jai is going crazy around the country to see what they're up to. And, of course, Emerson is gone so big and is going to be playing R&B this year. Like, how cool is that?
Yeah, they all grow up. They all grow up. Now, what have you got on this week? Are you visiting any shows?
I'm down
in Tauranga, so I've got one show in my head.
I am actually on Thursday. I'm going down to Wellington to see Te Awa's graduation show. Of course, this might be their last show, because they're being closed down, so I'm going down to see that. I think it's called Light and Colour, and it's kind of a review in two halves, and I've got a Stage Antics Whānau member in that, so I'm really looking forward to going down to that. And then Friday night, I'm going to the opening of Priscilla.
Ah, brilliant, yes. The bus is ready. Hearing lots of exciting things about that.
And then, of course, next week, so not this week, but next week, I'm coming down to Tauranga to see your show.
Brilliant.
Which I'm really excited about.
And if you've got something that you've got coming up that you'd like on our events page, make sure you flick it through. Emma's very good at keeping that up to date with what is happening on the event space.
Yeah. Well, we're almost out of time, so it was lovely that you were able to stop in and say hi.
Lovely to be here. A few more weeks away and then I'm back to the end of the year. We'll get back into our routines and I think I'll come back and you'll probably be flying somewhere because that's usually what
happens. There is a couple of weeks with Junior Theatre in October where I'm not here, but on the whole, I'm pretty much here with you until the, I think there's 3 weeks that I can account for where I'm not here.
Brilliant, brilliant. And if you've enjoyed our guest tonight from We the Young, a festival of arts, imagination and adventures for young people, head to aucklandlive.co.nz for all the details. The festival, of course, from the 16th to the 28th of September.
Fantastic. Well, we're going out with our last Father's Day song for this week. So, again, thanks to all the fathers. I hope you've had a great day. Hopefully you had a cup of tea made for you, maybe some breakfast, maybe dinner even. Maybe you got a box of beers from your son like my son did, gave mine husband. So, we're going to go out with Anika Moa with My Old Man. So, thanks for the Sunday night and go out there and
kick some arts.
Same time under the stars, saying blah, blah, blah.